Welcome to this broadcast of Truth for Today, sponsored by Sun City West Christian Church. I'm your moderator, Kai Repsholt, and Sun City West Christian Church is in Sun City West, Arizona. We are continuing our series about the Sermon on the Mount. This is part 10, and it's a discussion of Christian relationships, including towards brothers and sisters, and also our relationship towards the Father. Before we dig into the scriptures, let's have a word of prayer together. Thank you, Father, for inspiring the scriptures, then for preserving them from the day they were written until the day that they were translated, and for the gifting the translators to give us as an accurate a rendering as is possible from the original language into the languages that we read and understand. And we invite the Holy Spirit to have his ministry with us today to reveal to us the truth and bring to our remembrance the things that you have taught and show us where our attitudes and actions may need to change to reflect that truth. Amen. So we're starting in chapter 7 of the Gospel of Matthew in this portion of the Sermon on the Mount, starting with verse 1. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So it starts out here with a negative command. Do not judge. Now, English judge has a couple of different definitions, and we need to be clear what Jesus is saying here. The Greek word here means to condemn. It is what the judge passing final sentence does in a court of law. If the person is found guilty, he judges him, he condemns him, he assigns punishment. That's condemnation. Well, English also has a different word for a different meaning for the word judge. It means to evaluate. When there's a competition, whether it's athletic or whether it's artistic, think of Dancing with the Stars. There are three judges there, and they give judgment. But their judgment is not condemnation. Their judgment is an evaluation of what the dancers are doing. And when you listen to what they say, there's no condemnation in anything they say. There may be criticism. There may be you did some things that were wrong, but they're not condemning anyone. Okay, so what does Jesus do? Well, he's referring here to condemnation. So disciples are not to condemn. But that doesn't mean we can't evaluate. We have a standard that we understand truth. And if something is deviating from that truth, it is perfectly acceptable and, in fact, encouraged by Jesus earlier in the sermon when he says you are the salt of the earth to point out when societal norms deviate from God's standards. So to say that homosexual behavior, which is condemned by God, is wrong, is not condemnation. It is pointing out the truth and an error in a decision that someone else has made, which we are supposed to do. we need to guard against condemning them. We should point out a deviation from the truth, but we should not condemn them. Only God has the authority to condemn. We can warn, we should not condemn. But we should never, in our warnings, accept from someone else a statement that says, judge not, lest ye be judged, because they're not understanding what Jesus was saying. So he goes on and says, to not be a hypocrite. In this assessment of deviation from the truth, that's the speck in your brother or sister's. Now we're talking between Christians here, brother or a sister, not talking to non-Christians. We're talking about relationships here between Christians. So when you look at a brother or sister Christian and you notice a deviation, and in this case the example would be a minor deviation from the truth, make sure that there's not a major sin in your own life before you try to help them come back to the truth from a minor deviation from the truth. And Jesus has said, first things first, take care of the log or the major problem that you have with your eye. And once you've taken care of that, then you will see clearly to help your brother or sister. Notice that you're not to ignore your brother or sister if they're deviating from the truth. You're supposed to help. You're supposed to model godly behavior, show them the right way, and notice and help them recognize where they are deviating from the right way and help them back on the path. That's our obligation to a brother or sister. But it requires a prerequisite. The prerequisite is we have dealt with the sin in our own life first. Then we can be sincere in our help to a brother or sister. And I'm going to take a minute to help you understand what sincere means. It's an English word taken from two Latin words. Sin meaning without, and sear meaning wax. So directly translated from the Latin, it would be without wax. And how does that get into the English meaning of the word sincere? Well, turns out in the Roman Empire, they enjoyed marble statues. That was a major art form that they would seek to have to decorate their public buildings and their homes. And as in every culture, there are good vendors and then there are unscrupulous vendors. Some of the statuary, if it wasn't packed right in shipment, would suffer damage, particularly the hands, where the fingers, because, you know, they're smaller and they're all by themselves and they're easily broken. An unscrupulous vendor would take wax, melt it, use it to seal and adhere the two surfaces of the broken piece to the main sculpture, and then would polish the edges so that it looked like it was all marble. And then he would sell the statue as if it was intact and undamaged. And obviously, there were disappointed customers when they got it home, and suddenly, if it was out in the sun, and the wax softened and the broken piece fell off. So the reputable vendors of statues would have a sign over their display area, and the sign would say, "Sin without cire wax, without wax." And they would put all the statues in their display area out in the sunlight so that the stone would be warm and it would demonstrate by not falling apart that in fact it was complete and intact. So that's where we get sincere, without wax, honest, transparent. That's what sincerity is in the English language. So we are to first examine ourselves, get rid of anything that the Holy Spirit points out to us that is deviating from the truth, and then help our brothers and sisters with sincerity and gentleness to get on the right path. Verse 6: Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Well, some humans behave like animals, and it's perfectly acceptable for Jesus to characterize them as such. Now, dogs in this time were scavengers. They were not pets, and they were not used as herders. They were not working animals. They were scavengers. They were dirty, and they carried diseases because they ate carrion. Don't think of dogs like we have today. Things have changed since the first century in Israel. So don't give what is holy. So in the Jewish tradition, there were certain things that were designated as holy, and they were to be eaten in a holy place. They were designated for specific people, not dogs. And so this is talking about taking something that is set aside for a special purpose related to the worship of God. Don't give it to scavengers that carry spiritual disease. And don't throw your pearls before swine. Now, first off, a Jew would not herd swine because no one that they knew would eat it. If they touched a dead carcass of a pig, they would be unclean and they would have to do certain things to restore their cleanliness. And so swine would be involved with Gentiles, unbelievers. And swine are looking for nuts and acorns and other kinds of foodstuffs. And if you throw pearls, things of very high value, in with the swine, they will think it's something to eat. They will put it in their mouth and try to chew it. It will hurt their teeth. They will become angry. They will spit it out and they will look for the person who did such a mean trick to them because pigs are smart. They're not stupid. And they will turn and tear that person if he's in reach. And there are people like this. These are people who have had ample opportunity to hear and respond, but have decidedly decisively rejected the truth. And if you throw more truth towards them, they will become angry and they will try to hurt you. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not supposed to broadcast the truth of God. We're called to do that. But we're encouraged here to discern between people who have not heard or whose hearts are not hardened to the truth and people whose hearts are hardened to the truth. So you're thinking, if you know through experience of having talked to them at least once that they have rejected decisively, they haven't said, they didn't say, well, let me think about it. They said, well, maybe we'll talk about this later. No, these people said, I don't agree with that, and I don't want to have anything to do. They've decisively rejected your testimony and the truth. These people, Jesus is saying, don't go back and throw more pearls in front of them. Use your time to find people whose hearts are more receptive and give your pearls to them. So don't give up, okay, giving out pearls. Just choose wisely where you distribute them. Continuing on in chapter 7 with verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Now, grace is required in order to accomplish this. Ask, seek, knock. Grace from God. Okay? In his grace. Do we deserve any of this? Can we earn any of this? No. These are unearnable, undeserved blessings. So we have to understand that these things that we receive and find, okay, and opportunities that open to us are products of God's grace. And Jesus makes these promises in an ascending scale of urgency of the request. The first and least urgent is to ask. And he's implying that you're asking the Father. And you will receive. Seek. Now there's a little bit more urgency if you're seeking. That's a focused attention, more effort, seeking. And the one who seeks is going to find. And knock is there's something in the way. There's a door in the way. So you are a little bit more urgent here in getting through that door. It's you're pretty sure that what it is you're seeking may be on the other side of that door, but the door is in your way. So you knock on the door, and Jesus promises that the door will be opened. Now, these are promises that presuppose we are ready to receive. We have to ask ourselves, Am I really ready to receive what I'm asking for? Now, Jesus is going to give example here. He gives example about the loaf and the stone and the fish and the snake. And he's in his example, he's using creation gifts. Okay, the creation gifts that he's talking about are loaf and fish. And he is using them as an allegory for spiritual or redemption gifts. When he calls, when he says at the end, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Okay. It's a level above the value of the creation gift. Now, the creation gifts are still necessary, but Jesus is comparing earthly fathers to the heavenly Father, and he's comparing earthly gifts to heavenly gifts. And we should understand that granting our needs is conditional on why we ask and whether it is good. If a here he talks about in his example, he talks about the man whose son asks for a loaf and the father will not give him a stone. But what happens if the son asks for a stone? Is the father going to give him a stone when he needs bread? No, the father will give him what he needs and what is good and not honor the request for something that is not going to be good for him. And the heavenly Father is the same way. If you can ask and ask and ask, but if what you're asking for is not good for you, do not expect God to give it to you. But he will give you everything that is good for you. And this is, this whole discussion is involved with the an operation of prayer. Okay? And presupposes that the person who is praying has knowledge, has faith, and has desire. Now, biblical faith is a combination of three things: knowledge, trust, and obedience. So when you use the word faith, and when the Bible uses the word faith, that's what it's talking about. It's like a triangle. If any one of those elements is missing, it's not biblical faith, it's something else. So to pray in faith means to pray with knowledge, with trust, and in obedience. Certainly, it's not to inform God of what we need, because God knows everything. And it's not to motivate him to give us what we need, because God loves us so much, he is supremely motivated already. Our prayer is for us. It's for us to acknowledge our dependence. It's to acknowledge that God is the supplier. It's to acknowledge the loving relationship that he has with us. Prayer is for our benefit. Now, verse 12 says, in everything, therefore. Now, whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, you got to remember to go back and think about what it was just been talked about. Treat people the same you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. Well, now Jesus is no longer talking about relationships between fellow believers, brothers and sisters. Now he's talking about everything. Okay? In everything. Okay? Treat people the same way. This is referred to as the golden rule. Some translations will go, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Okay. So this is believers and unbelievers included. And this is a positive command. Okay, we started out at the beginning of this section with a negative command. Do not judge. Now this is a positive command. Treat people. Okay? Do this. It is not the avoidance command. This is a positive command for something for us to do. Also, it's not optional. It's not some unattainable goal. No, this is something Jesus expects all his followers to live out. And it's pretty simple. And he says, in this one statement, you can sum up the entire law of Moses and all the prophetic writings. How? And even though it's simple and straightforward, it is not easy. But if God commands it, you can be certain that God will supply the power through the Holy Spirit for us to do it. We only have to ask. And that's the end of our study for today. If you want to participate live in the live session, you can, and you're living in and around Phoenix or visiting, you can come at 9:30 a.m. on Sundays to Sun City West Christian Church in Sun City West, Arizona, and there will be a seat at the table for you to participate in the question and answer period that follows in the live session after this recording. May God bless you all, and have a great Thanksgiving holiday.